Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are moments in the Gospels when Jesus says something that just stops us in our tracks. And Matthew 16, 21 through 28 is one of those moments. Just before this passage, Peter had made his great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had gotten the answer right. He had confessed who Jesus is. But now, Jesus begins to explain what being the Christ actually means. Matthew tells us, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus is telling his disciples that the Messiah has come to save his people, but he will not do it, but he will do it not through power or violence. Rather, he will do it through suffering and the cross. And Peter can't accept that. He takes Jesus aside and says, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Peter loves Jesus. Peter wants to protect Jesus. Peter can't imagine that the Son of God should suffer and die. But Jesus responds with some of the strongest words that he ever speaks to one of his disciples. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." It's such a severe rebuke. But you see, Peter is thinking according to human expectations rather than God's saving purpose. He had been envisioning a Messiah that would be victorious over the Roman oppressors. Peter wants a Christ without the suffering. He wants glory without the cross. But there is no Christian faith without the cross. So when Jesus says that he must go to Jerusalem, that word "must" matters. Jesus is not saying that unfortunate circumstances will somehow overtake him. He is not a helpless victim of political forces, religious authorities, or even Roman power. He is going to the cross willingly. He goes because this is the Father's saving purpose. Jesus came into the world precisely to bear the sins of the world. He came to take upon himself the judgment that we deserve. Isaiah had foretold it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The cross is therefore not a tragic interruption of Jesus' ministry. Rather, the cross is the heart of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is the Christ because he is the crucified and risen Savior. Peter wanted to separate Jesus' identity as Messiah from his suffering, but Jesus wouldn't allow it. And neither should we. We are often tempted to do the same thing. We would like a Savior who would make our lives comfortable, remove every difficulty, answer every prayer according to our wishes, and keep suffering far away. But Jesus doesn't promise any of that, and does not promise a life without suffering. However, he does promise something greater. He promises to be with us through our suffering. And he promises that suffering and death will not have the final word. After rebuking Peter, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." These words are often misunderstood. To deny ourselves does not mean that Christianity is primarily about making ourselves miserable. Nor does taking up our cross mean that every inconvenience or difficulty that we face is automatically our cross. The cross is what comes from belonging to Christ in a sinful, fallen world. To follow Jesus means that he becomes the Lord of our lives. It means that our will is no longer the highest authority. We confess, "Thy will be done." We surrender our sinful desire to be our own Lord, and we acknowledge that Christ alone is Lord. And that is difficult, because our own sinful nature continually wants to say, "My will, my plans, my way, my desire." But Jesus says, "Follow me." And following Jesus sometimes means picking up our cross. It means sacrifice. It means forgiving someone when we would rather hold on to resentment. It may mean speaking the truth when silence would be easier. It may mean remaining faithful when the world tells us that faith is just not necessary. It may mean serving others when we would rather serve ourselves. Jesus continues, "For whoever would save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The world tells us to find ourselves by putting ourselves first. Jesus tells us that true life, is found by giving ourselves to him. This is one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith. If we make this earthly life our highest treasure, we will ultimately lose it. If we make Christ our treasure, even death cannot destroy us. The Christian doesn't have to cling desperately to this life as though this world were all that there is. There is one more word in Jesus' prediction that we must not overlook. He says he will be killed on the third day and be raised. Peter heard the suffering, the disciples heard the death, but it seemed that none of them heard about the resurrection. And Jesus promised that resurrection. He promised the cross is not the end, and the tomb would be empty. The one who suffers will rise, the one who is rejected will be vindicated, and the one who is sacrificed will ultimately reign. Peter wanted to prevent Jesus from going to the cross, but Jesus knew that the cross was precisely where he needed to go. He needed to go there for Peter, he needed to go there for the disciples, and he needed to go there for us as well. And notice something else about this passage. Peter's confession was correct, but Peter himself was deeply flawed. He could confess Christ one moment and resist Christ the next. And that should give us both humility and hope. Because we too can confess the right faith and yet struggle to trust God's purposes. We can know God's promises and still be afraid. And we can believe that Christ is the Lord and still sometimes say, "Lord, surely not this." But Jesus didn't abandon Peter, and neither will he abandon us. Matthew 16 reminds us that Christianity is about following Jesus. And the Jesus we follow is Jesus who went to the cross. He doesn't promise us an easy road. He promises that the road, however, will lead to life. So when the way is difficult, we look to Christ. And when obedience is costly, again, we look to Christ. And when suffering comes, we look to Christ. And when death draws near, we look to Christ. The cross was not God's abandonment of Jesus. It was God's saving work. And the resurrection proves that the cross was not defeat, it was victory. So therefore, let us deny ourselves, but let us take up our crosses and follow Jesus, not because our sacrifices earn salvation, but because Christ has already accomplished that salvation for us. Through his sacrifice on the cross, he's conquered sin, death, and the grave. And he promises that all who trust in him will share in that resurrection. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.